And so this morning, before we get started, let's go before the Lord and let's just invite him into his house. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that right now you would come, fulfill the promise of Scripture, send your power, send your presence into our hearts, into this place. Lord, teach us from your word the very beautiful and simple things that we will have before us this morning, that we would take away just a desire and an understanding of why we worship and what it's all about. And so be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in a series on Sundays talking about why we worship before we start going verse by verse through the New Testament and the Gospels. And as we've been here, last week we talked very specifically about this issue. So it was the number one point. If you have your notes from last week, what you'll notice is it says this. Number one is that we were created to worship him. Church, we were created to worship God. We exist for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify the Creator, the one who has given us life, the one who has given us breath, the one who has given us the ability to sing and to praise and to serve. So we have to understand we were created for the very thing, which is to worship our holy God. Well, before we start talking about the second point in this idea of why we worship, what I want to share with you are reasons not to worship God. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you two reasons that we do not worship God. Here's the first one. We do not worship God because he needs it. How many of you understand God does not need our worship? God has plenty of worship going on in heaven right now. He does not need our worship. He desires our worship and that fellowship, but he does not need our worship. Acts chapter 17, verse 25 says this. Paul is speaking to the Athenians and he says to them, "Nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything." He doesn't need anything from us. Does God need anything from us? No. We have a tendency to think, the Lord needs me to serve him. That's the wrong prideful attitude. God doesn't need you. But God desires to have relationship with us. I want you to consider something. How many of you in this room are married? Good for you guys. Now, let me explain something. Before you got married and you were engaged, how many of you talked to each other during that season? How many of you see where I'm going? I'm going to tell you something right now. A church that doesn't worship God is like a betrothed woman not talking to the man she's going to marry. Because we are the bride of Christ and he is our bridegroom. And I'm going to tell you, church, we need to be talking to him. Jesus most often is like the bridegroom that his bride never talks to him. And guys, we need to be talking to Jesus. We need to be worshiping him and praying to him and having fellowship with him. But we don't do it because he needs something. He is God. He doesn't need it from us. But since he goes on, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. God gives all things. He doesn't need anything from us. But there's a second reason that we do not worship God. We do not worship God to impress others. We don't worship God to impress others. We don't. We worship God because he deserves our worship. We don't worship him to impress others. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." A hypocrite is a person who does one thing on the outside, but the inside there's something different. He says, "You're not supposed to be like the hypocrites, for when they pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they might be seen by men." I mean, they want to be seen by people. They're on the corners going, "Oh, Lord, you're so great." I mean, they're seen. They're like, "Oh, people see me. People see me worshiping." That's not why we worship. We don't worship God because he needs it. We don't worship God that others would give us praise for worshiping God. That would be weird, wouldn't it? That would be strange. That would be wrong. See, we do not worship that we would receive praise. We worship that he would receive praise. Now, he goes on to say this. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father who sees in secret, and your Father who is in the secret will reward you openly." So, number one, we worship God because we were created to do so. Two reasons we do not worship God. We don't worship God because he needs it. We don't worship God to be seen and have praises come to us. We want God to receive the praises. But here it is, number two, in your notes, write it down. We worship God. Are you paying attention? We worship God because he's worthy of worship. It's really simple, but we make it so complex. Why do we worship God? We were created to do so, and we worship God because he is worthy of our worship. We're going to look at five things you can write in your notes, you can write in your Bible to remind you and to remind us all of why we worship God. Number one is this. We worship God, number one, because he deserves it. God has worthship. He is worthy. He is God. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the Savior, the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who went to the cross for us. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our worship. He has worthship. How many of you think God is worth our time in worship? Yes. So we worship him because he is worthy. Here's the second thing, if you're writing it down. The second thing is this. We worship God because he's great. Say great. Great. He is great. And the scripture tells us this in Psalm chapter 48, verse 1. It says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in his holy mountain. God is great. He is great, and he is greatly to be praised. He deserves our praise, and God deserves our praise because he is great. He is the greatest. He is the King of kings. He is above all. I love it. The scripture calls him the Almighty. How many Almighties do we get to have? We get to have one Almighty, and guess what we get to do? We have the privilege of worshiping the one and only Almighty God. He is the one that we worship. So here's the third thing. We worship God not only because he's great, but we worship God because he's glorious. God is glorious. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the prophet writing, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he says, high on his throne, high and lifted up. I just want to share something with you real quick. Many people want to see the Lord high and lifted up. But in order to see the Lord high and lifted up, usually somebody has to die first. But you know who that person is that has to die so you can see the Lord high and lifted up? It's you. It's me. See, I get in the way. My flesh, my sin. The scripture says, my sin separates me from my God. So often, my own flesh, my own life separates me from God. If I want to see God high and lifted up, that I might see him in his glory, that I might worship him in his greatness and his glory, I have to die to myself. And so it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up. He was high and lifted up, and church, that is what we are to be doing. In our worship of God, because of his glory, we want to have him high and lifted up. Now, I want to explain to you why we want to lift him high and lift him up. This is what happens. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So, church, are you following with me right now? If Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. How many of us want to see the lost saved? Show of hands. You want to see the lost saved? If you didn't raise your hand, shame on you. But listen, but you want to see the lost saved. Well, if you want to see the lost saved, then in our life, because we were created to worship, because he deserves our worship, because he is great, because he is glorious, we will lift him up. And when we lift him high and we lift him up, it will draw men unto Christ. I can guarantee it, because I know a young man who gave his life to the Lord, not because necessarily of the preaching of the gospel or the teaching of the word. He came to Christ because he saw God's people worshiping and lifting up God as supreme, and it radically transformed his life and his heart. When we lift up Jesus, Jesus draws men unto himself. And in our worship, what are we doing? We're lifting up Jesus. And so he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Now, these are angels. And it said, and each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. When we get to heaven, we're going to see some weird stuff. See, we all think we know what heaven looks like because we've seen cartoon pictures. We're going to get to heaven and go, what is that? And then we're going to realize that thing we see is pointing us directly to the most important thing in heaven. And what's the most important thing in heaven? Jesus. God is the most important thing in heaven. Listen to what happens. What do these seraphim do? It says, and they cried to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Did you know that the glory of the Lord is in this place? Do you know it's not in this place because we invited it in this place? Did you know that the glory of the Lord is in this place because he's in this place? No matter how dark your life gets, no matter where you try and hide, the glory of the Lord is there. The psalmist said, man, I can make my bed in the mountains and the valleys. I can make my bed in the gates of hell, and I cannot get away from the Lord because, behold, Lord, you are there. You can't get away from the Lord. The Lord is wherever you go because the whole earth is full of his glory, and God is glorious. We worship God because he deserves it. We worship God because he is great. We worship him because he is glorious. But we also worship God. This is number four. We worship God because he's good. Church, listen. We worship God because he's good. Now, he's good when he gives, but he's also good when he takes away. See, so often we love it when God gives. How many of you love it when God blesses you and God gives? Absolutely. But how many of us get a little bent out of shape when he takes away? God is worthy of worship when he gives good. God is worthy of worship when he takes away. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow, no turning." God is good when he gives. God is good when he gives. And we worship God when he gives to us, when he gives good things to us. How many of you have experienced a good thing today that you can worship God for? How many of you have done that? You've received a good thing today. Do you know what that good thing is? You're alive. That's a good thing. You worship God because you're alive. You shouldn't get up in the morning and go, "Oh, Lord, another day." You need to get up in the morning and go, "Lord, another day. Lord, I worship you. I praise you for the good things." But how many of you have ever had loss in your life? How many of you have ever suffered loss? Loss of family, friends, loved one. We've suffered loss. How many of you realize that God is good when he gives, but God is still good when he takes away? And when God gives, he's worthy of worship. When God takes away, he's still worthy of worship. In Job chapter 1, starting in verse 21, it says this, "And he," Job, "said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Don't for one moment think, "Hey, I'm going to worship God when everything's good and everything's great because that's when he's worthy of worship." No, God is worthy of worship because he's great all the time. He is glorious all the time. And God is worthy of our worship because he's good. And he's good when he gives, and he's good when he takes away. So God should be worshiped by his people. Do you know what would happen if we said, "Hey, anytime you have loss in your life or you're struggling in your life, why don't you come into this room and let's worship in the house of the Lord? Hey, when there's something good in your life, why don't you come in and let's worship in the house of the Lord?" Do you realize we would never be able to lock the building? Why? Because depending on where we are in life, we are either worshiping God because he's good or worshiping God because he's taken away. But we're worshiping God because he's good, he's given, he's taken away, and we're going to worship him in it. We're going to worship the Lord, and this is what we're called to do. We're created to do this, and he's worthy of it. He deserves our praise. We worship him because he deserves it, because he is great, because he is glorious. We worship him because he is good. We worship him when he gives. We worship him when he takes away. The poet said it like this: "God is good when he gives supremely good, nor less when he denies. Even crosses from his glorious hand are blessings in disguise." God is worthy of worship. God is worthy of our adoration. And we have to understand that, as Deuteronomy says to us in Deuteronomy 32, this is Jesus speaking, God speaking, he says, "Now see that I am he, and there is no God besides me." Let me help you with something. You know what that means? There's only one that's worthy of worship anyway. And there's only one worthy of worship. It is God, and we worship God because he is the only one that is worthy of our worship. And he says, "I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand." He is the Almighty God, and he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy. Now, number five. See, God is worthy of worship not only because of what he's done, but he's worthy of worship because of who he is, simply because of who he is. So number five, we worship God because he's God. We worship God simply because he is God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, that power that we're talking about here is not we give him power. That's the power that he has because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the ultimate authority that God has. He has the power. He has it all. All authority has been given to Christ under heaven and on earth. Things in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. He is worthy. And it says, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. As a little recap of what we talked about last time, do you understand that you exist because God has willed it? You are who you are because God willed it. Each one of you in this room right now, if you are here right now, it is because God willed it. I'm going to tell you, if for some reason you have some friends who stopped at the house, grabbed you this morning, threw you in the trunk of their car, drug you to church, drug you in, made you sit down, please understand, you're here not because they kidnapped you, but because God wants you here. Now, in some cultures, they call that evangelism. We actually call that something else. But don't leave here thinking, hey, Ty said it's okay to kidnap people, bring them to church. No, I didn't say that. But what I did say, and I'm encouraging you, is you need to be bringing people to church because they need to hear the message of God. And they need to see God's people lifting Jesus up. And when Jesus is lifted up, those unsaved, the lost, the nations of the world will see Jesus and will be drawn in by who Jesus is as we lift him up. We are those who worship, and you are not here by accident. You are here on purpose. You exist on purpose, and the voice you have is the voice God wants to hear, honks, squeaks, scratches, and all. God says, that's the voice that I made in you, and because God made that voice in you, that's the one he wants to hear you glorify him in praise with, because he is worthy, because he is good, and he is God. He goes on now, and we're going to talk from the Old Testament, First Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 28, it says, give to the Lord, O you families of the peoples. So give to the Lord, you families of the peoples. By the way, I think this also speaks of us as worshiping as families, as moms, dads, sons, grandparents, all together. We worship as families. But he says, look, very clearly, he says, give to the Lord, O you families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory and strength, and give to the Lord the glory that is due his name. How many of you realize that God is worthy to receive glory? We give him glory. We lift him up because he is glorious. We lift him up because of what he has done in and through our lives. But listen very, very carefully to this. He says, bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But that idea at the very beginning, he says, give to the Lord glory and strength. What does that mean? See, that's not giving him power. That's giving him strength. That's giving him our strength. That's giving him of our strength. How many of you understand that what the scripture is telling the people is when you come to worship God, you give him glory and you bring some energy to it. We put some energy. We put our resources. We put we lift our hands. We lift our voices. Squeaks, squawks, honks, everything. We lift it before the Lord. You know, we stand and we lift our hands and we do all these wonderful things and we worship God. We give to the Lord of our strength. How many of you have ever been really tired in church? You're like, oh, I just don't want to stand up right now. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I feel that way about halfway through third service on Sunday. It's not like I can sit down. But I want to give the Lord of my strength. I want to give him everything I've got. I don't want to give him part of me. I want to give Jesus all of me. I want to give him everything in my worship. And so what I'm singing, I want to give him everything in my worship. You understand, it's hard for me to get through four services on a weekend and sing because I want to sing. And I'm thinking, but I got to preach. I would sound like a duck without a voice by the fourth service, right? If I was not careful. But I just want to give to the Lord everything I have. Don't you? I do, and I want to give it to God because he's good. Now, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, says this. Philippians 2, starting in verse 9, says this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that's speaking of Jesus, and has given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, of those that are on earth, and those under the earth. In other words, of all creation, whether those in heaven, whether those on earth, or those under the earth, he has been given the name which is above every name. And that at that name, every knee should bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's just break this down. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, okay, he's talking about worship, he'll be done in a few minutes and I can go and I don't ever have to worry about this worship and Jesus thing, you are absolutely mistaken. You are going to worship Jesus because we all will worship Jesus. Jesus Christ has been given all authority. And at his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Every knee, every bow, every tongue, everything will bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There are people thinking, oh, I'm not going to worship Jesus. You will. They will. That's going to happen. For all of us, doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are all going to worship Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I love nothing more than leading worship for children, right? Them good old, you know, Father Abraham had many sons. And I want to be a sheep, bah, 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 bah. You know. Do you know why? Because children are uninhibited in their worship. And they just want to give God glory. Children often worship way better than we do. We start thinking, well, I can't, you know, don't mess up my clothes or my hair. And I want, you know, and I don't want people to hear my voice. And kids are like, ah, and they don't care. You say, hey, kids, let's lift up our voices. It sounds like they're at a football game cheering for his team. I mean, it's amazing. And they just want to serve. They just want to love. Guys, what did Jesus say? You didn't have to become like a child, you know? Let's become like children and let's just not be inhibited in our worship. And I'm not talking about being inappropriate in our worship. I'm talking about being passionate and giving God our strength and lifting our voices as the scripture tells us to. And as we do that, we have to understand that it's an issue of obedience. Why? Well, we have to understand that we worship God because we were created to do so. We don't worship him because he needs it. We don't worship him that others would give us praise. We want others to give him praise when we worship. We want to see Jesus high and lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. We worship God because he's worthy of worship. And we worship him because he deserves it. He has worship because he is great, because he is glorious, because he is good. And we worship him because he is God, and he is the one who deserves all of our praise. All of our praise belongs to Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, as we worship you, as we, as your church, set aside time to worship and to praise and to give you glory and strength and to bring to you the glory that is due your name, Lord, I pray that we would never be in a place that we would be self-conscious, but Lord, we would be just conscious of you, the great audience of one, and we worship you with our voice, with our strength, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we would desire to be obedient. Lord, our act of worship just being obedient to your word. And Lord, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we thank you for what we're about to enter into as a church family. And we ask that you would now be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.